The energy situation in Europe right now is a mess. European leaders have been trying to punish Russia for its war in Ukraine by taking aim at Russian energy. The European Union has banned Russian oil and is trying to cut back on Russian gas. In response, Russia has hit back. Here's our colleague Juan Ferrero.
Russia's holding back on natural gas as punishment, in this struggle with Western Europe over the aid that Western Europe is providing to Ukraine.
And now, Europe is about to take it a step further. Next week, it's implementing a ban on Russian coal. And Juan says the situation has thrown Europe into a full-blown energy crisis.
Europe has been highly dependent on Russia for its energy needs. And now with the war in Ukraine, of course, we're having serious problems in terms of Europe getting the energy that it needs.
The scorching heat wave currently tormenting Europe and the UK is pushing power systems to the edge and testing energy policies.
It's the rising cost of heating homes and feeding families that's worrying many Europeans.
Europe is already bracing for what could be a long, cold winter because of Russia's war on Ukraine.
Europe can't just cut down on Russian energy, though. It has to replace it with something else. And a lot of people were hoping that that replacement would come from green energy sources like wind and solar. But that's not what's happening right now.
The fact is that renewables are not providing the energy that we need.
So an energy source that Europe is turning to is one that the continent had actually been trying to wean itself off of, coal.
And these countries are right now forced to depend on coal more than before. And of course, this is the dirtiest fossil fuel. So this is bad news in the fight against climate change.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Friday, August 5th. Coming up on the show, the resurrection of coal in Europe and what it means for climate change.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Why is it that coal is the fuel that Europe is turning to right now to fill its energy shortages?
Well, I think Europe is turning to whatever energy sources it can get its hands on. Germany has just announced that it could go back on its decision to close down 3 nuclear power plants. And Europe is also working with the United States to get as much natural gas from the U.S., which is a monster producer of natural gas, to try to replace Russia. But that's not going to happen overnight.
But there's one thing Europe can do practically overnight. It can import more coal.
Getting coal from around the world is easier. It's not easy. It's problematic. There's obstacles. There's logistical problems. There's all kinds of hurdles. But it is easier. And so Europe is calling upon countries to provide more coal.
Coal-producing countries all over the world are answering that call. Coal exports from places like Australia, Indonesia, and South Africa are skyrocketing. So are exports from Colombia, where Juan is based.
Well, Colombia is a big coal exporter. And in Colombia, coal is produced here by foreign companies that focus solely on producing large amounts of coal for export. Those companies are doing great.
Demand for coal is so high right now that prices have tripled from $134 per metric ton at the start of the year to over $400 a ton now. And Juan says that in Colombia, it's been a huge boon, even for small companies.
These small mom-and-pop outfits, which might be kind of funny to an American to think that there would be tiny coal companies. We're talking about coal companies with...
Like a mom-and-pop coal shop?
Yeah, mom and pop coal shop. I mean, there's a gentleman named Gustavo Nunez. Gustavo is a gregarious guy, and he has for many years been a mine owner, and he has these two little mines there in this town, just on the outskirts of Topaga. You know, it only has a few thousand people, and much of its economy revolves around these mines, around the ups and downs of these mines, you know, the boom times and the bad times and so forth.
For the last few years, as global demand for coal declined, it's been mostly bad times for Gustavo's coal mines. In fact, one of Gustavo's mines, called El Diamante, closed in 2019.
It was doing nothing. It was collecting coal dust, I suppose. I mean, this mine was not in operation. You know, it had been mined in the past, but then with the low price of coal, you know, during the pandemic and so forth, it was just shut down.
But now, after all this coal demand started coming from Europe, Gustavo decided to get the El Diamante mine back up and running.
So the El Diamante mine is, this is what you would picture if you thought about mining, like, you know, in the early 20th century. You know, they have a coal car that goes through there. They have a little rail line, and it's a mine that goes about 60 meters deep, you know, some 200 feet. So you got these guys down there with pickaxes and so forth, just going at the walls of this mine, trying to get at this coal, which is shipped up to the top via this car.
As a result of the coal boom, Gustavo's miners are earning a lot more money than they normally would.
The miners who work in Gustavo's mine and the miners who work in many of the other small family-owned, family-operated mom-and-pop mines in that area are doing very well, and you can see that everywhere. I mean, these people are saying, yeah, I bought a new motorcycle, I put down a new floor in my house, I remodeled this or that, maybe I'm going to buy a pickup. The money's flowing in that part of Colombia right now.
Situations like this are playing out at coal mines all over the world. But this increase in production is at odds with many countries' aims to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah, Europe has been trying. The United States and many other places have been talking about moving away from coal. And what we're seeing is the exact opposite right now. We're seeing the world turning toward coal. Let me just give you this important statistic. I spoke to the International Energy Agency, they just came out with a report that said that global coal consumption this year will match 2013, which was a record. This is from a report that just came out the other day. And they're saying that they estimate that that is going to increase next year. So let me make this point more clear. We're going to be consuming more coal next year, more coal than ever before.
But consuming this much coal was not part of Europe's original plans, especially when it comes to climate change. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
With the world producing more coal, Europe has a better chance of getting the energy it needs to keep the lights on and homes heated through the upcoming winter. But Europe has spent the last decade trying to wean itself off of fossil fuels like coal and transition to cleaner sources of energy. How much dirtier is coal than other types of energy?
It's a lot dirtier than other forms of fossil fuels even. And it's also responsible for a large portion of CO2 emissions globally.
Our colleague Fred Dvorak covers climate change. Why is Europe leaning into coal right now rather than renewable energies like solar or wind?
The short answer is Europe is trying very hard to do both, but it's in such dire energy straits that it can't help but add whatever ready energy source it can at this time. And coal is there and ready.
Fred says that Europe still needs coal because the infrastructure simply doesn't exist yet to fully switch over to renewable energy. Building new solar and wind capacity is complex and takes time. And even if that was already in place, most European homes wouldn't be equipped to get their heat from it.
A lot of homes are heated by natural gas. You've got a gas furnace somewhere. And if you want to switch that away from fossil fuels, away from gas, to electric power, you have to install something like a heat pump. And that has to be done in every home. And that will take a lot of time.
Still, even as the war in Ukraine has forced the European Union to embrace more fossil fuels in the short term, it's also made the continent double down on green energy in the long term.
So that sort of gives everyone the kick in the pants needed to roll out money, roll out investments, and make some tough lifestyle changes in order to get those things done, which are hard things.
The EU has now committed to installing more clean energy on a faster timeline than it was planning before the war started. Europe now wants to get 45% of its energy from renewables by 2030 and more than double its solar capacity by 2025.
So, for example, faster installation and higher goals for solar, faster installation of heat pumps, faster installation or accelerated installation of panels on rooftops. All kinds of accelerated goals that they put in a new plan that they called Repower EU.
So it seems like the war in Ukraine is having like this dual impact on energy and climate change in Europe. On the one hand, Europe is having to go back to this very dirty greenhouse gas producing technology in coal in the short term. But in the longer term, it's accelerating the continent's climate goals to transition to renewable maybe more quickly than they had originally planned. So what's the net effect of that going to be on climate change?
Hard to say. It depends. Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty person?
I'm definitely a glass half is half. It's just half.
Okay. Well, so in the short term, it's not good for the climate. And I think there's no disagreement on that. In the short term, keeping coal power plants running for longer is not good. So, you know, that's the glass half empty part. Now, on the longer term, some people say that this is a good chance. It's a good chance to accelerate medium to long-term energy transition plans. So that's the optimistic view.
But for this optimistic view to become a reality, Europe will need to invest a huge amount of money and political will into meeting those ambitious renewable energy targets. And our colleague Juan says that actually pulling it off will be hard.
I think it's going to be difficult for the world to meet climate targets because we are seeing a situation where coal consumption in the world globally is now this year going to pretty much equal 2013, which was the high for global coal consumption. And next year, it's estimated it's going to rise even more. So that's the situation right now, at least in the next year or two. And again, coal is the dirtiest fossil fuel. And so it's going to take a while for them to shift away from this.
That's all for today, Friday, August 5th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are Kate Linebaugh and me, Ryan Knutson. The show's produced by Melvis Acosta Crisostomo, Annie Baxter, Catherine Brewer, Pia Godkari, Rachel Humphreys, Matt Kwong, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Kim Naderfane-Petersa, Afif Nasuli, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Sarah Platt, Aaron Randall, Alan Rodriguez Espinosa, Vladislav Sadiq, Pierce Singhi, Catherine Whalen, and Victoria Whitley Berry. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner and Nathan Singapak. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Catherine Anderson, Peter Leonard, Bobby Lord, Nathan Singapak, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasolka. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.